Happy Sabbath, church family. It's nice to be here worshiping with you today. It seems like it's been a little while since I've been standing in this pulpit. We've had a couple guest speakers for the last several weeks, and those have been some good studies, haven't they, in the last few weeks? I really enjoyed those. Before we get started, Charlotte asked me to convey a thank you to our church family for the love and the food and everything during Frank's memorial service. And she just wanted to say a big thank you to her church family. And I have to say that I miss seeing Frank here up in the second row. I miss Frank. Frank was a very, very fun person to have around. And I'm looking forward to seeing Frank again someday. You know, that's promised in the Bible. And I'm looking forward to that. There was a song that I used to sing in Sabbath school when I was a kid, and even at camp meeting and things, and it went something like this. If you know the song, go ahead and sing it with me. It went, "The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down." If you know the hand motions, do the hand motions too. "The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm." All right, the next verse. "The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand went splat." A lot of you remember the song. When was the last time you sung that song? Be honest. It's been a while, hasn't it? It's a good song. The song talks about a parable that Jesus taught in the Bible. And it talks about Jesus being the rock. And the title for our sermon today is "The Rock of Ages." We're going to look at a Bible teaching referring to God being a rock. Now, there's a lot of rocks in the world that fascinate me. Anybody know where this rock is located at? I heard an Australia guess. Not Australia, a little closer than Australia. It's one of my favorite places in the world. Utah's a good guess. Josh Houghton got it. And it's Joshua Tree National Park. Good one, Josh. Josh has been there. He loves this park. Joshua Tree National Park is one of my favorite places. People come from all over the world to come rock climb at Joshua Tree. Anybody been to Joshua Tree before? National Park in California? It's one of my favorite national parks. It's amazing. There are rocks everywhere. It's like a gigantic playground to run around. And people, again, come from all over the world to play on these rocks, very famous rocks around the world. Anybody? This is an easy one. This is an easy one. Half Dome in Yosemite. This is a big one. And I enjoy this valley, and you don't get a whole view of the Yosemite Valley here, but this is one of the most beautiful places on earth, I think. It's almost like going to another planet when you pull up to that overlook and you see the falls coming out and El Capitan on one side and Half Dome on the other. And just, I grew up backpacking in the mountains right around here, and I love the Sierra Nevadas. This is a very famous rock. I always wonder what happened to the other half of the rock when I see this, because it's got to be somewhere, right? There's got to be another half. Where did the other half of Half Dome go? Very famous rock. Anybody know where this is? Garden of the Gods. That's right. Did you know there's a second kind of Garden of the Gods over at Roxborough State Park? If you have a chance to go over to Roxborough State Park, just 30 minutes from here, it looks a lot like this. And, pardon me? Is there one in Illinois? No kidding. I think they're fascinating. I love going to the Garden of the Gods, but Roxborough State Park is a less touristy area if you're looking to avoid the crowds, and it's a really neat park. But these are some very famous rocks. You can spot these from a long ways away, and I always wonder, I would love to have been there when they formed or came up out of the ground or whenever, however it happened, just to see how it happened. Here's another very famous one. Anybody know where this one is? South Dakota's close. Wyoming. It's just across the border into Wyoming from South Dakota. This is called Devil's Tower. That's right. And I believe it goes up something like 850 feet, right around there. And this is another one that just blows my mind because it's just in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden you have 850 feet. There was one person who got to the top without climbing. I was reading up on Devil's Tower. They got to the top without climbing. They parachuted down onto the top of Devil's Head and didn't tell anybody, and they were stuck up there for 6 days. Like, hey, somebody come up and get me. A lot of people rock climb this. But another big rock that stands out that is very recognizable. Rocks are known for being very firm and solid, aren't they? Just like the song we sang, people build their foundations of houses on rock or concrete. There's a good foundation, which means that that house is going to be sturdy or stable. Rocks, there's another very famous rock with some president's faces carved in it. What's that one called? Mount Rushmore. Rocks are known for being very solid. The Bible talks about rocks. Psalm 78, verse 35 says, "And they remembered that God was their what? Their rock, and the Most High God their Redeemer." God here is referenced as a rock. Now that's not a term we often refer to God as something we would skip along the water if we found a nice smooth lake. God being a rock. But there are lots and lots and lots of verses in the Bible that describe God as being a rock. I'm not going to read all of them today because we'd be here till 3 o'clock. And you really would be saying, man, we survived church today. If I went through all of those verses. Believe me, I've preached on some topics where I wondered if I was going to survive church after I got out of the church. Another verse, 2 Samuel 22, verse 32. "For who is God besides the Lord, and who is a rock besides our God?" Isaiah 44, verse 8. "Do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me, or is there any other rock? I know of none." God refers to himself as a rock in this verse. Psalm 62, verse 7. "On God my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God." Psalm 61, verse 2. "From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Psalm 71, verse 3, "Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me. You are my rock and my fortress." Isaiah 26, verse 4, "Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have a what? An everlasting rock." It's interesting to look and to see how many times God is described as a rock. Notice that God is not described as the sand, because sand washes away. Sand is not eternal. Have you ever seen a place where a flood has been, and you see where earth has been, the sand, the dirt? It's just all washed away and gone. But the big rocks, those are the ones that are there for thousands of years and are immovable. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus is teaching the people. There's a crowd of people around him. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. And in my Bible, these are red letters saying these are the words of Jesus. And it says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine." So all of you that are listening to these teachings of mine, this is who you are. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on the what? On the rock." So whoever listens to the teachings of Jesus, applies them to their life, they are like a person who has the foundation of their house built on a rock, a solid rock. In verse 25, Jesus says, "And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house,
and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, what does Jesus mean here by the rain descending, the floods came, the winds blowing and beating on the house? What does the house represent, by the way? The house represents our life, right? It represents us. And if our foundation is on the rock, Jesus tells us what's going to happen when the wind comes, when the rain comes. And the winds and the floods, he even says. So what are these rain, this rain, wind, and floods that hits the house? It can be just about anything that makes you struggle in life. The winds of temptation, that's a phrase that you might be familiar with. When temptations hit us, when tragedy hits our lives, anything that makes you want to, that makes you feel tempted to lose your faith in God, all of these things hit our lives from time to time, don't they? We struggle with different things, with loss. There are so many things that we can struggle with, that we have struggled with. Sometimes it's dealing with a difficult or broken relationship. Sometimes the struggle is going through a financial struggle. Sometimes the struggle we go through is with legal problems. Sometimes the struggle we go through is painful health problems. Boy, that's not a fun one, is it? When our health is bad, just ask somebody who's passing a kidney stone. Thankfully, I haven't had one of those yet. I'm hoping I never do. But that can be a huge struggle, your health. The death of someone you love can be your form of struggle. Your struggle can be dealing with children, rebellious children, children that have gone astray. Your challenge could be facing something that brought public disgrace. Your challenge could be work-related, being laid off at work, or dealing with a conflict situation at work. There are so many things in life that beat down on us, that discourage us, that are challenges to us, that make us question things. Tough times are not an option in life. Tough times are guaranteed in life. Someone said there's two kinds of people. There are people who are going through tough times, and there are people who are going to go through tough times. That's it. Only two kinds of people. And Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken them to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. You ever felt beat up by life? You ever felt like life was just one thing after another and you couldn't catch a break? That bad thing after bad thing after bad thing just kept on happening. But Jesus says, the house that has the foundation on the rock, and who is the rock? Jesus. Whoever's life has their foundation on Jesus, no matter what hits them, it doesn't mean that there won't be floods, doesn't mean that there won't be any wind. It just means that you will be able to withstand the wind. It means that you will be able to withstand the flood. Means you'll be able to withstand the rain when you have your foundation built on the rock. But Jesus goes on. Verse 26, it says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the what? The sand. The same circumstances come up for the guy who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, verse 27, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And was it a little fall? The Bible says it was a great, big fall. I love the beach. I grew up hanging out at the beach, and we would build sandcastles and whatnot. And they had big walls, and we would try and build a fortress. And there'd be a pit in the middle, and we'd be filthy and dirty, and there'd be sand in our ears and in our hair and all over the place. And eventually, the walls of that fortress that we had built would succumb to high tide. See, the tide would come in, and it would wash away, and we'd look and be like, no, we've spent all morning on this. This is our masterpiece. And the tide didn't care about our masterpiece. And the waves kept on coming up a little farther, and eventually it would breach the walls and it would wash over our sandcastle that we had built. There's no foundation at the beach. The sand shifts and moves around a little bit. It changes, whereas the rock doesn't change. The rock stays firm. So what is Jesus saying here? Jesus doesn't say that there's never going to be rain. There's going to be rain. Jesus doesn't say that there's never going to be a flood. There's going to be a flood. Jesus never says it's not going to be windy at your house. There's going to be wind. But what Jesus says is this: if you have your foundation for your house on the rock, your house is going to be okay. No matter how high the wind is, no matter how high the flood is, no matter how hard it rains, your house, you are going to make it. Now, sometimes in the middle of a storm like this, a life storm, it feels like you're not going to make it. Ever been in a situation where you look and you're like, I don't see any good way out of this. This is going to ruin my life. But yet, even when those things look that bad for us, if our life, if our foundation is on the rock, on Jesus Christ, you're going to make it. It's not easy going through floods. It's not easy going through this stuff. But Jesus promises that you're going to make it. Now, let's look at another story that illustrates kind of how this is real. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 16. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Acts chapter 16, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. Acts chapter 16. When bad things happen, how do you keep on that firm foundation on the rock? Love this story. One of my favorite stories. It's marked up a million times in here. I should probably stop marking it up because I'm eventually not going to be able to read any of it. But I just love this story. And it starts off in verse 16 of chapter 16 in the book of Acts. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Now, right off the bat, you think, well, that's true, isn't it? Isn't this girl saying what's really going on? You may not be able to hear the tone of her voice, though. When you change the tone of the voice, it changes the message, right? These people, they claim to have the message of the Most High God, don't they? Sounds a little different now, doesn't it? Changes the whole message. One way you read it, these people have the message, and the Most High God is with them. That sounds like, okay, I can believe that. But when you change the way you say it, it makes people think, oh, she's making fun of them. She's being facetious. She doesn't mean it. She's really saying they don't have the Most High God with them. And verse 18 says, and he came out that very, oh, sorry. Verse 18, it says, and she did this for many, many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. In your life, you are going to hear all kinds of different ideas and teachings and theologies. This teaching of Jesus in regards to the wind and the flood and the rain beating down on the house, that can represent just really tough times in life, for sure. But it can also represent the teachings that you're bombarded with all the time. And unless our life is set on the rock, we may sometimes fall for some crazy teachings. Let me say that again. If our life is not built on the rock, we are vulnerable to wild and crazy teachings that float around. I know some very smart people who believe some really crazy stuff because they're not built, their foundation is not built on the rock. It's more on the sand, and it shifts from time to time. And today it's this, and tomorrow it's that. The next day it's this. But if our foundation of our life is built on the rock, on Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus will guide us in all truth. He sends the Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth. And if our life is built on that rock, we will see these wild and crazy teachings that float around for what they really are. And Jesus will anchor us on that firm foundation and keep us on the straight and narrow path. Paul had to hear, listen to all these crazy teachings. In fact, this lady walked around and followed him for days, basically refuting the things he was teaching, saying different things to the people that he was talking to. Finally, it says, he was greatly annoyed. I would love to have seen what Paul looked like, greatly annoyed. How do you feel when you are greatly annoyed? Not just a little bit annoyed, but a lot annoyed. The wick gets a little short, right? The fuse gets really small. And Paul turns around. I wondered why he waited this long. He finally turns around and says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. Verse 19, but when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Verse 22, then the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with what? Rods. I think this qualifies as a storm, maybe a flood and rain all together for a bad day, doesn't it? These guys went through extremely tough times in their lives as well. Paul and Silas, and this almost gets worse, when you're trying to do good and you get beat down, that hurts almost a little bit worse, doesn't it? When you mean well, you're trying to do good and someone just beats you down, you feel just so discouraged, hopeless. That's totally what they're trying to do. They're doing good. And everything goes south. The whole town starts a riot. The magistrate says, strip off their clothes, get the rods out. This qualifies as a storm, I think, in their life. So did Paul and Silas have a sandy foundation? Or did Paul and Silas have a foundation of rock? We'll see what happens here in the story. He tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Now, the closest I can relate to this is getting whooped as a kid. Anybody relate to that? I think maybe a few of us can. It wasn't with a rod, thankfully. Glad they didn't do that when I was a kid. But I still got whooped when I was a kid, right? I can't imagine someone taking a big rod to my back many, many times. And the Bible says it laid stripes on them. So it wasn't just a little whap. It was somebody taking a full baseball swing at their back with a rod until there was a red mark across their back, maybe even bleeding sometimes. And then they were hauled off after this was done publicly, by the way. So add the psychological embarrassment piece to it. They were hauled off to jail, put in stocks. Now they can't lay down because where does it hurt? On their back, but their feet are in stocks down here. What a horrible place. So where is their faith in God here? Do they have a foundation of sand? Do they have a foundation of a rock? These two guys are some of my Bible heroes, because of what their foundation is made out of. This is what the Bible says. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were doing something that indicates to us where their foundation really was. Because it's when the storm comes, when the rain and the floods come, and how we respond to those things that tell us where our own foundation is. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Two guys, maybe they were even harmonizing. Two things you don't usually hear in prayer, in prison: prayer and singing. I've never heard of a prison choir. Have you? Been on TV watching and say, oh, look, it's the prison choir. San Quentin, their choir. It's such a great Christmas show. You've never heard that. Nobody sings in prison. What was it that allowed them to go through a horrible life experience and come out on the other end praying and singing? You see, the easy thing to do, the thing we're all tempted to do when bad things happen, is to say, God, why did you do this to me, God? God, why is this happening to me? And the perpetrator is over here, and God is over here, and the bad thing happens, and we're like, God, why is this happening to me? And the perpetrator over here who made the bad thing happen is going, ha! Once again, the blame goes there after I'm the one who did it. But see, not these guys. Because their foundation was on what? The rock. And the rock is Jesus, the cornerstone. Midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. This is the craziest earthquake I've ever heard of. I've been in earthquakes. This never happened. The doors in my house never just flew open. The refrigerator didn't just fly open in the middle of this earthquake at my house when I was a kid. This is a very weird earthquake. God sends this earthquake and all the doors open and even the chains fall off. Can you imagine the prisoners in there? They hear the singing, they hear the praying, and all of a sudden they hear the shaking. Stuff, weird stuff starts happening. Their door goes open, and they're like, what? And all of a sudden their chains go, chink, whoo, and hit the ground. They're like, this is the best day of our lives. What are the chances? This is the craziest earthquake ever. Verse 27 says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. When he called for a light, he ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You see, their foundation not only benefited them, but their foundation made it possible for God to use them in ways that they wouldn't have thought of a few hours ago. You see, they never thought, when they were back out in the square preaching before they got all beat up, they never thought that, man, in about 7 or 8 hours, I bet there's a guy in jail I can witness to. Never saw it coming. You see, when we blame the wrong person when bad stuff happens in our lives, there's no benefit there. When we blame God for stuff that the devil does, it doesn't do anything for us or our faith. In fact, it breaks down our faith in God, thinking that God would do that to us. When we have our faith in Jesus, we can look at things and we don't have to have an answer. We can have the faith that says, you know what? Whatever God decides, I'm good with that. Because most of the time, we're probably not going to understand what happens in life anyways. We'll never understand why bad stuff happens. We know who the perpetrator is. But those why questions, one of my favorite songs in thinking about this is, Farther Along, We'll Know All About It. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. That's faith, friends. Faith is not having to know why stuff is happening right now. And if our foundation is on the rock, we will be okay with that. We can take it one day at a time. Make that day the very best you can. That's what Paul and Silas did. They took that one day and made the very best of it that they could. And I would suggest to you today, when you're going through a storm, take that one day at a time and do the very best you can for that day. And then when you wake up the next morning, take that day one day at a time and do the very best you can with that day. And God will give you the strength to make it through that day. If God gave the strength to Paul and Silas to make it through this, God will give you the strength to make it through whatever you're going through or will go through. I had some neighbors when I was a kid in Fallbrook, California. They lived across. We had a little valley in between our house and theirs, and there was a couple groves. We had a grapefruit grove and tangerines and avocados and oranges and all kinds of good stuff. And they lived right across. If you were out on our front porch, you could look across this little valley and you could see their house right up there. And we were friends with all of our neighbors, and we went over to visit these folks. Conrad and Anna Resch were their names. And these people had quite a story. They were German and were raised in Germany. And during World War II, the Russians and the Germans went back and forth across each other's borders, and some pretty horrible things happened during World War II on the northern end that we don't read about much in our American history books, but is very fresh in the memories of the Germans and the Russians. And Conrad and Anna were 10, I think, or so when this happened. And some Russian soldiers came across the border, and they were doing all kinds of things to the people across in these German towns, and then the Germans would go back and do it to the Russians across the border and vengeance and whatnot, and it was a pretty rough time. And this couple, their families were marched out into the woods, and they watched as their parents were forced to dig their own graves. And their parents were ordered to stand in front of their graves and were shot. And these kids watched it happen to their parents. Now, I don't know about anything that could shake a foundation much more than that. And it affected them for the rest of their lives. And I can just remember them being quite miserable as humans. You could hear the hate in their voice when they talked about this. You could hear just the inner groanings in their life from having to go through this. Just the trauma that it was like every day of their life they had lived through that trauma one more time when they woke up. And it caused them to live a life full of hate because they didn't know what to do with it. Another lady, her name is Eva Kaur. And I've mentioned this lady before in a sermon. Eva Kaur was a Jewish lady. She was a twin. And the train that she was on in World War II was headed towards Auschwitz. Now, Auschwitz is not a great place to go to at all. But if you're a twin, it's even worse. Because the Nazi physicians that were there, specifically Dr. Mengele, who was in charge of all the physicians there, loved to experiment on twins. And she and her sister were injected with all kinds of different things at the young age of 9-10 years old. One would be injected with one thing, and the other one wouldn't, and they would see what would happen. And the next time they would inject the other one and see what would happen. She saw the most horrendous things as a little kid. She endured some of the most horrendous treatment that any little kid ever has. Her mom and dad were killed. Her older siblings were killed. And she and her sister were only kept alive to be guinea pigs. They survived the war. And she struggled with a lot of the same things that Anna and Conrad Resch did, my neighbors. But she discovered something. She changed foundations, I think. You see, after 50 years of being angry, Eva Kaur realized that forgiveness was something that was very free. Forgiveness was something that made her feel better. Now, where do you think the idea of forgiveness came from? That's a God thing. Because forgiveness doesn't come naturally to us, does it? We're pretty stubborn as humans. I believe that this was God working on this lady's heart. 50 years later, she lived in Indiana. She went somewhere and met a physician that had been on the doctor's staff at Auschwitz. He was in charge of recording all the different things. And here she meets this guy. Can you imagine what that meeting would be like? All the emotions that would be going through this lady's mind? And they talk, and she says, "Man, what do I do with this? How do I handle this?" She says, "I've got to forgive this guy for what he did. Even though it wasn't directly towards me, I suffered because of what he was a part of. I've got to forgive these people that hurt me so much." She decided to write this doctor a letter to forgive him. And it took her 4 months to write this letter. She started over, wrote again, started over, wrote something else. 4 months she worked on this letter. And she sent it, and she said this, "I discovered that I had one power left in life. I could forgive the Nazis for what they had done to me," she said in an interview in this event. "I could forgive." That comes from one person. Inspiration to forgive comes from one person, and that's God. And because of the foundation she chose to stand on there, she was able to move forward in life and overcome the storms that had happened in her past. My neighbors couldn't do it. They couldn't move past it and forgive. And because of that, they were some of the most miserable people I've ever known. Because they couldn't forgive. Some storms are stronger than others. Some floods bigger than others. But my friends, no matter what storm you go through, if you are going through it on the foundation of Jesus, you're going to make it. It may not be easy. But if your storm happens and you are connected with the Creator, forgiveness will be something you can do, and you'll be happier for it. You will be able to make it through, even though you think you might not be able to. You will make it one more day. And the next day, you'll make it one more day. And God will give you what you need to keep on going. If our foundation is on God, on the everlasting rock, He will help us through. You know why He describes Himself as a rock? Because He's unshakable. We sometimes are shakable. But if we are on the unshakable, we can become unshakable with His help. There's a rock in Yosemite Valley on the other side of Half Dome. It's called El Capitan. It's about 3,000 feet high, straight up out of the Yosemite Valley. If you come in and you drive in to the first lookout, you'll see Half Dome on the right and El Capitan on the left. A lot of people enjoy climbing El Capitan, and they have their ropes and their crampons, and all the other safety gear, helmets, and all that stuff. Sometimes they sleep on the side of this. They have little rigging where they can lay their sleeping bag out, and they sleep on the edge of their little, it's amazing, 1,000 feet up. You can't roll over if you sleepwalk. It's a bad idea to do this. But there's a guy, and I believe it was just this year, a couple months ago, this guy, his name is Alex Honnold. And this guy is a free climber. He climbs without ropes. And he became the first person to scale this nearly 3,000-foot granite wall without using ropes or any other safety gear. Some say completing what may be the greatest feat of pure rock climbing in the history of the sport. He ascended the peak in 3 hours and 56 minutes, taking the final moderate pitch at a near run. At 9:28 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, under the blue sky and a few wisps of cloud, he pulled his body over the rocky lip of the summit and stood on a sandy ledge the size of a child's bedroom. He started at 5:32 a.m., had breakfast, put on his favorite shirt and pants, and took off, and did it without any safety gear. Now, how many of us can agree that this is a dangerous thing to do? Okay? How many of you agree that life in general is pretty dangerous? How hard do you think he clung on to that rock as he was going up? I mean, when you get to 500 feet and you look down, you'd be like, boy, I better hang on to this rock. When you get to 1,000 feet, trees just start to look small like this, don't they? Look at the crack this guy's hanging on to. There's nothing there. He's hanging on by his fingertips. His life depends on hanging on to this rock. 3,000 feet up almost, this guy goes. Almost 4 hours. Can you imagine how bad his forearms hurt? No rope. You can see no helmet. Nothing. If he didn't hang on for dear life to that rock, he's not going to make it. He's not going to make it. My suggestion to you today is to be like this guy. Hang on to the rock for dear life. Make that your foundation. Don't let go of it for anything. Because if your foundation is the rock, you're going to make it. No matter what it is you're going through, God can help you make it if you make him your foundation and you stick to him no matter what. Every one of us go through tough times in life, gut-wrenching times, uncertain times, scary times, and that's never going to go away until we get to heaven. Never. Because if you make it through this thing, there's going to be something else. If your foundation is on the rock, you're going to make it. It might be hard, but I guarantee you're going to make it because you are connected to the firm foundation, and that foundation isn't going anywhere. And just like Jesus said back in Matthew, he said, the rains came down and the floods came up. In your life, the rains are going to come down and the floods are going to come up. The wind is going to howl. But Jesus promises this, that the house that's on the rock is going to stand firm. I want my house to be on the rock. How about you? Spend time in God's Word. Learn more about the rock. The more you spend in God's Word, the more firm your foundation is going to be when the wind starts to howl and the floodwaters come. But when they come, you're going to make it. We're going to sing a closing song today. And the song is called On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I want you to stand and sing this with us and think about these words. On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. When Jesus comes and you see his smiling face and you look in his eyes and he knows all about the wind and the rain and the floods that have happened in your life. And he looks at you and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the house of the Lord. Those are going to be the best words that we've ever heard. And it's going to have been so worth it to stay faithful to Jesus no matter what. Friends, the devil is always going to be trying to work on you to discourage you and to get your faith down and to question God. When you feel like that, open up your Bible and start reading through some of the promises that God has left there just for you, just at that time. Because God's reminder to us today is that he will never leave us or forsake us. No matter how much the wind is whipping in our lives, no matter how hard the struggle is that we're going through, God understands. God knows what you're going through. He will help you stay firm. Stay on that solid rock and be connected to Jesus, and you are going to make it. No matter what's going on in your life, you are going to make it. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for this short little parable about the rock and the sand. Lord, help the music to that kid's song that we sang at the beginning to ring through our ears this week as a reminder of your faithfulness to us,
of your promise to us that if our foundation is based on you, we're going to make it. Lord, don't let the doubts stick around long in our minds. But Lord, build our faith in you. Remind us of your promises that you will never leave us or forsake us. We thank you, God, for being with us even when the weather is nice in our life and through the storm and the floods, and never being away from our side. Give us courage this week, Lord. And we thank you that today we're one Sabbath closer to being with you in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.